भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
I'll read from Prem Bhakti Chandrika of Narottam Das Thakur some lines that Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted. Oh, actually, he usually quoted a few lines after this, so I'll begin a little before the lines that Srila Prabhupada usually quoted. They are as follows. Kama krodha lobha moha mada matsarja dambha shaha shthane shthane nijukta kardipo. Srila Prabhupada, rarely, he did quote this, but not so often.
Ananda kari hridoy ripu kari parajoy anayashe gobinda bhajibo.
Then this is the line which he fairly often quoted. This and
Kama Krishna Karamarpane Krodha Bhaktya Dveshi Jane Lobha Shadhu Sange Harikata Moha Ishta Labha Bine Mada Krishna Gunagane Nijukta Karibo Jata Tata.
That was well known, the six enemies. Well known among transcendentalists, they are Kam, Krodh, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. Kam, Krodh, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. And here, Narottam Das adds Dambha. Mada can be translated as pride, which is very similar to Dambha. Mada is sometimes also translated as madness. So these lust, anger, greed, in this order, lobha, moha, illusion, mada, madness, matsarja, matsarya, envy, dambha, is pride, the wrong kind of pride. There's one kind of pride which is good. To be proud of our guru. That means to be happy to be identified with him, to appreciate his everything about him. So all these things, sthane sthane nijukta karibo. This Srila Prabhupada used the English word dovetail, which that's derived from carpentry. There's a dovetail joint. Because it's shaped like a dove's tail, pigeon's tail. So dovetail means to put two pieces of wood together in a way that they stay together. But there's this dovetail joint. So from the Srila Prabhupada used that term, dovetail, to put together. So it gives the same idea as nijukta or niyukta in standard pronunciation, nijukta in Bengali pronunciation. So I'll join them, I'll put them together in their appropriate places. This will make the heart happy. These enemies will be conquered over, and we can easily, without disturbance, that means worship
Govinda. So Kama Krishna Karma Arpane. Kama, desire, material desire, which just after this, Narottam says, Anjata Shatantra Kam Anarthadhi Anarthadi Jardham Bhakti Prate Shada Deo Bhanga. So after this he says that Kama, this material desire, it's just independent. It means difficult to bring under control. Among all of them, Kama, material desire, and it is the root. All the anarthas, all the bad things come from material desire. And it always spoils or places obstacles on the path of bhakti. So Kama Krishna Karma Arpane. Kama, material desire, should be changed into the spiritual desire for serving Krishna. Krodh, anger, that should be redirected to persons who are haters of Vaishnavas. And greed, the bad quality of greed, should be dovetailed or redirected into hearing Harikatha, topics of Krishna, in the association of devotees. Moha, bewilderment, illusion, one should aspire to experience this in the absence of one's worshipped Lord. In other words, in a feeling of separation. And mada, pride, or madness. Maybe madness fits better here. Krishna gunagane. One should be mad, not after any material things, but in the matter of singing the glories of Krishna. Nijukta karibo jata tata. So in this way, I will dovetail all these bad things in various ways as suitable. He doesn't mention Matsarya. He says, all these, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarja, dambashaha, nijukta karibo, no, stane, stane, nijukta karibo. So he says, I will put them all in their right place. He doesn't describe how that is done with matsarya. Matsarya, Srila Prabhupada often used the word envy to translate this, which envy, Srila Prabhupada usually used that word in an archaic manner. Because nowadays, envy in English doesn't, it's very similar to, well, it may be an old meaning also, but it means jealousy. But Matsarya is practically a synonym of dvish, just the opposite of sadbhavana, to just dislike someone. For what reason? No real reason. Just like the love of Krishna is natural for the soul. So when that one decides that Krishna Bahimukhoya, one becomes inimical to Krishna, then what is natural for the soul, it becomes perverted. And envy of Krishna becomes the natural, seemingly natural position. And that translates into envy of everybody else also, including oneself. Atma sambhavitas tabdha. One becomes against oneself, when one, our own worst enemy. So this envy, matsarya, that envy also, that specifically, if we see someone is better than us at doing something, more wealthy than us, more popular than us, then this envy arises. So this is very bad. This inherent bad feeling toward others is very bad, and it's completely antithetical to bhakti. Narottam Das discusses these things because there's no progress in bhakti. What is that? Bhakti pate shada de bhanga. As long as these things are there, these anartha, Annata shada, what is that? I just read it, I forgot it. Annata shatantra kam anarthadi jardham bhakti pate shada deya bhanga. So this material desire, if we read the kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, at one end is kama and at the other end is matsarya. But they're both intimately linked because Krishna bahimokhaya bhogavanchakare. When we become inimical to Krishna, then we desire material sense gratification. So all the anarthas, they come from kama, which comes from matsarya. And it goes on in a vicious cycle. That we have kama, we have material desire, then from that comes anger, frustration, due to non-fulfillment of desires, or even if it is fulfilled, we're still not happy, so we become frustrated. Then lobha, just we want more and more and more. Well, we're desiring immediate sense gratification, lobha to accumulate items for sense gratification. Moha is, it produces a general state of bewilderment. Mada, this which increases to become just madness, and matsarya. And then we just, as we become more and more infected by material desire, we become envious of others. We don't, not only do we become, we can even be envious of persons who are in, who are lower than us, in the sense that they are less capable of us than material enjoyment, because we don't want them to come up. That we are in a position where we can enjoy this world, we're envious of those who can enjoy more, and we're envious of those who can't enjoy as much as we are, because we don't want them to come up and enjoy on the same level. So it works both ways. So all of these, they're very, very bad, and they completely stop bhakti, that bad feeling towards others. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is narrated the account of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to take prasad at the house of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. It takes up one chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's described that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he took great trouble to make sure that his son-in-law, whose name was Amogha, could not come, because he knew that Amogha was a very envious person. So he was serving prasad, and at the same time he kept a stick with him. But one time he went to bring some items. In the meantime, Amogha came in and started criticizing, what's this sannyasi, he's eating so much, enjoying his senses. Then Sarvabhauma came back and chased Amogha out with a stick. And he and his wife, Sarvabhauma and his wife, were distraught. They were so upset. They invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their house, and this envious person had just criticized. Then Amogha, he ran away. He didn't dare to come back, and he was struck with cholera. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see him and said, "It's not proper for you as a Brahmin to have this envy in your heart. So it's not proper for anyone to have it, but especially a Brahmana is supposed to be living a very pure life and not to be cultivating material desires. So for a Brahmin, it's especially bad. We can understand to some extent if a Kshatriya, of course a very noble Kshatriya like Yudhishthira, has no envy. Arjuna, we don't find any envy. In Bhima, we see the semblance of some envy. But it's quite expected among rival kings that they'll have bad feeling toward others. And Vaishyas, there may be business rivals, although actually in traditional culture, this competitive business, it's not there. It's that Vaishyas, they don't see themselves so much as those who are in the mood of being very dharmic. They don't see themselves so much as being exploiters of the economic situation as providers. It's their duty to provide food and other items to the rest of society. And among Shudras, well, what can you expect? And lower than Shudras. But this envy, we see that Narottam Das in writing Prem Bhakti Chandrika, the moonbeam of Prema Bhakti, he discusses these things. We might think in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, in a work titled like this, there'll only be discussion of what is Prema Bhakti, but he's discussing here how to come to that level. There's no question of coming to that level as long as all these things are there within the heart. So these are very bad. If there's bad feeling toward others, then how can one be a devotee? Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madadi, abhishta, eshabna, chere, kishe, pabe, radha, krishna, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. That as long as these bad things are in the heart, where is the question of attaining to radha and krishna? So this envy, bad feeling is the if it's there, then there's no question of attaining to prema bhakti, which is the ultimate goal of life, prema prayojana. So materialistic people, they envy others. But even among better materialists, we see that some of them, then they're different. They don't have that bad feeling. I mean, this is a very mundane example, but I'm just... I remember as a child, I would be interested in the soccer, the football, and most of the soccer players, it's a very very competitive... Cricket at that time was known as a gentleman's sport, but in soccer, it's... It's a very rough kind of game, and the players, they would kick each other and try and injure each other. And but there were some players who would never do that, and even verbally, even if they were kicked by others, they wouldn't. When they were interviewed afterwards, they wouldn't say anything bad about them. And some of them, they score a goal and they'd be like so puffed up, and others wouldn't. I mean, even at such a low level of consciousness as playing a soccer game, some of the players are very polite, and they, even if they're badly treated, they wouldn't retaliate. So even among materialists who have no interest in anything spiritual whatsoever, some of them, somehow or other, they have some previous sanskars, we would say. They're polite, and not just polite, but non-envious. That's the point. They don't become upset if someone else scores more goals than them or something like that. They'll praise them. Now, and how much should I talk about soccer? I just brought to mind something else. I think it was the 1974 World Cup. I was watching on TV, and there was this new phenomenon which we couldn't imagine in England, of the South American soccer players, when they scored a goal, we'd be watching it live on TV, kneeling down and saying a prayer, crossing themselves in the middle of the football pitch. In other words, to show gratitude to God. They're praying to God, please let me score a goal. So it's a long way from prema bhakti, but the idea is there that it's not me, I did it, but they're thinking it's all the grace of God, which is, it's not prema bhakti, but it is. It's good to recognize that we are not the doer. In Ireland this summer, well, there's no real summer in Ireland, but what they call summer, one group of middle-aged people came to the temple, and they were scheduled to come during the time that I was giving a class. So on that morning, I was speaking on Vishnu Sahasranam. I was speaking, that's proper usage of past continuous tense, something like that. So on the Vishnu Sahasranam, that name, that Varada, the giver of boons. So these are people with no idea of Krishna consciousness whatsoever. They just happen to be visiting. So I spoke and said that we should know that anything good comes to us. We shouldn't become all proud and think I'm so great. We should know there's a higher power. There's God who gives everything, and He can take everything away also. And they related to that, of course. They're from Ireland, where people mostly believe in God. If they'd been in England, maybe they wouldn't, but they could relate to that. So this envy, we become envious of others, that's not fitting for Vaishnavas. I've just given the example that even if people as far away from Krishna consciousness as soccer players can be somewhat humble and non-envious, then it's not befitting of Vaishnavas to be envious. But that tendency may be there, unless we really try to take it out. That tendency may be there, that someone is doing something big in devotional service, or someone is recognized by the guru more, or whatever it may be. Someone can play mridanga better than me. Someone is less envious than me. So the tendency is there. And if we bring that into devotional service, what do we do? How can we not do that? We're coming from the material platform. It might be in the case of some of you, but not in my case. I didn't come from the spiritual world directly. I mean, it was a long time ago. Many lifetimes ago. We came from the material situation where we are. We're just in completely in illusion. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madha, madha. We're just completely full of these anartas. And Guru, Krishna, Prasade, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Beach, we get the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. That seed is the faith in the pure devotion and the inclination to cultivate that. But we have all these bad things in our heart. So what to do about that? Even we're sent out preaching, but we ourselves, we need preaching to. We need to preach to ourselves first of all. Preaching is required, but sometimes the material, the anartas get expressed through preaching. And that may be in various ways. Someone distributing books, and then he is a good preacher, and it's a young, handsome brahmachari, and attracts all the young women, or maybe a young handsome sannyasi. Also, that may happen also. Maybe even not young, still it's not that by becoming older all material desires go away. The desire to outdo others, that can be there, some competition, but if the competition to please Krishna, let me see, oh, someone is doing so much for Krishna, I should also do. But then with the idea of outdoing others, so that I will be recognized more. Why is everyone praising him? They should praise me. Then that is envy, and we can say that leads to fall down, but practically it is a fall down in itself. And it may fall down into gross sense gratification, or one may just go on and be considered by others a good preacher and all this, although actually it's mixed. One, there's a desire to please Guru and Krishna and act in Srila Prabhupada's mission, but that gets mixed up with some material desire to show how good one is. Yeah, to show how good one is, and not only in the sense of showing how capable one is, but also to show how saintly one is. That can also... To desire to be seen as saintly is a completely different desire from actually being saintly, but externally or even internally, the person himself, they may not know that, they may not be able to see the difference. Just like, for instance, this Dalai Lama is considered by a very saintly person, but he's not. If we, by the standard of Shastra, we can understand he's a rascal. He's a gross meat eater, and he doesn't promote the actual. He takes the position of a spiritual leader, and he doesn't promote what is the actual truth. And probably all these spiritual leaders, they talk all things: be good, be nice, be tolerant, which are good in themselves. But they're all zeros without Krishna, without coming to the actual point of Krishna. So it's just like in Mimamsakas, they say, Atato Dharma Jignasa. When now in the human form of life, we should be concerned with inquiring about Dharma. But the Vedantists, they say, Atato Brahma Jignasa. That simply how to act in this world, that's all right, but more important is to understand what is ultimate reality. Not that Dharma is jettisoned, but... It is subservient to this search for ultimate reality. So how to get rid of all these things? It's very serious that this envy, if as devotees we have envy, and Narottam Das suggests here that we bring that into devotional service, along with kam, krodh, lobh, moha, dambha, and so many bad things, we're in a very dangerous situation, because that envy that is antithetical to bhakti. Bhakti means love, and envy means hatred, practically. So there are severe warnings against Vaishnava aparad in Shastra. All kinds of aparad. That if we have aparads, then we can't attain love of Krishna, even in many lives. Bahu janma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabu tanapai Krishna pade prema dham. We can't get love of Krishna, even if we go through the motions of devotional service. Even in many lives of performing devotional service, we don't really go anywhere. We're just... That example is given of rowing the boat, but it's still tied up to the shore, so we don't go anywhere. Despite all our efforts, we don't go anywhere. We might go to hell instead of going to Krishna. So this Vaishnava aparad is very severe. But on the other hand, the warnings against Vaishnava aparad, they can be misused also. So that someone in the name of the parampara acts against the parampara or deviant from the parampara, and if someone else in the service of the parampara points that out, it's oh, Vaishnava para. So, and it may be that just like there was this there was a devotee who's passed away now, elderly Vaishnava, who used to tell to ISKCON devotees, you should come and hear from me. But it was widely perceived that his teachings in many ways were quite different from those of Srila Prabhupada, and he was quite openly sometimes speak against Srila Prabhupada. So they would say, well, I have to get permission from my guru. He may not say directly, but his followers would say, you have to get permission from your guru. Okay, go ask your guru. So if your guru gives permission, you go and hear from him. And if he doesn't give permission, that means he's a Vaishnava Paradi for not giving you permission. So then you should reject him. So either way, it's presumed that he's the great Mahabhagavat. And either way, you have to listen to him. And he would say things like, well, if anyone comes to me, they would never fall down, which is ridiculous. I mean, no acharya ever makes such a claim because the jiva has his own independence. And you can be directly in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as was Kala Krishnadas, and also fall down. So, they did fall down. I mean, so not this idea that this is the great Mahabhagavat that you have to hear from, and if you hear from this one, this is the great one who you have to hear from. He's better than all the others. Just another manifestation of envy, which would be childish if it wasn't messing up people's lives so much. So, how to get free of all these things? Well, Narottam Das Thakur, he says here that Apane Palabe Shab Shunile Gobindarab Shinghanada Jaina Karigon. Is it Shinghanada or Shingharoba? I can't remember. It means the same thing. Anyway, I can look it up. Means that all of these bad things, all of these anartas, they all are shingharobe. They all go away by themselves, just like elephants. Elephants are very huge, powerful creatures. So the anartas are compared to big elephants. What would you do, Kunja Bihari, if a big elephant was running at you? What would you do? I say you have to call out Govinda. Shunile Govinda Rab. Apane Palabe Shab. If the name of Govinda, I have to call out Govinda. So then either the elephant won't attack you, or even if he does, you said the name of Govinda at the last moment of your life. So you don't lose anyway, either way. There's in Udupi, there's the samadhis of all the acharyas who are in the Paryai, when they died in Paryai during the period of worship. And one of them, on one of the samadhis, you can see a tiger, because with tiger, a tiger came and killed the acharya. In that time, you can't imagine where are the tigers now. The forest is a very thick forest behind, once you go past Manipal. But at that time, it must have come quite close to the temple. So there are many tigers, and one came and killed him. But then, anyway, this example, is there that the same way these anartas, these bad things in the heart, they're very big and dangerous. And what do you, if you come across a mad elephant in the jungle, what can you do? You can try running, but the elephant, they can run faster than you. And there's no question of fighting with the elephant. But the elephants, they also run away just hearing the sound of the lion roaring. So the lions and the elephants, they often fight. You see that sometimes in South India, Tamil Nadu, especially the sculptures within the temple of the lions fighting with the elephants. So they're both very powerful creatures, but the lion is the king of the jungle. So the lion wins in the fight between the elephant and the lion. There may be some exceptions, as described in the story of Gajendra in the Bhagavatam. He was such a powerful elephant that all the animals, they took shelter of him, and even the lions couldn't overcome him. So in the same way, if we chant the name of Govinda, then all these bad things go away. But we do see people are chanting the name of Govinda, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And yet, Srila Prabhupada writes about envious persons in the guise of Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada is very concerned about several of his godbrothers who he said were very envious of him because he'd preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. They weren't able to do that. So we find that even among devotees, not necessarily even big devotees, but it may be on a lower level also, that sometimes we may say things about each other or make to each other or about others which are just some so bad you wouldn't think that anyone could say that. You might think you'd read about it in a novel or something, but you don't expect normal people to say such bad things as some of the things we sometimes hear devotees say about each other or to each other. And they're chanting Hare Krishna. How is that possible? Well, it may be that they're chanting, but that's not the kind of chanting that will purify. Because the purifying chanting is Trinadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. Unless we're cultivating that mood, then all these bad things will remain. And envy and humility, they're just on the opposite end of the scale. All these things have to be understood very carefully. If we don't understand clearly what is Vaishnava philosophy, then we'll mistake humility for envy and envy for humility. Someone is enviously distorting the whole path of devotional service by apparently doing activities which are apparently good for others, like mundane welfare work, and they may be seen to be very humble, but actually it's envious because they're distorting the path of devotional service. In the name of devotional service, misleading people from the path. And if someone points that out, they may be considered to be very envious, even though they're humbly serving the mission of the acharyas. So this, how can we overcome these anartas? Yes, we have to chant Hare Krishna. This whole Prem Bhakti Chandrika, that's to... Well, not all of it, but a lot of it is about how to come to that level. Along with our preaching, we have to be very strongly trying in devotional service. We have to take it very seriously. We have to make strenuous efforts to overcome the bad things in the heart. We have to, that means minimally to have basic sadhana. But even that, it's not just a ritual. We have to really try. We have to pray to Krishna to help us to overcome the bad things in the heart. Just like in the Gopinath song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's praying to Gopinath, you have to help me. I'm trying, but I just can't. All this lust in the heart, I just can't get rid of it. You have to help me. So we have to make our efforts. You have to pray. Otherwise, our progress may be very slow, even though we perform many activities in devotional service. And it may seem that we're doing very well, but actual purification means to be free of these things. As long as there's envy in the heart, then there's this love of Krishna, that natural attraction to Krishna, which is the heart's pure propensity, it won't happen. Cannot happen. They cannot live together. Prem and envy, they cannot live together. Even attraction to Krishna will not arise if we have bad feelings toward anyone. Advaishta sarva bhutanam, one should be free of bad feeling toward anyone. So these are heavy topics which require to be considered and discussed. Yeah, any question, please?
Generally, in a group of devotees or in a congregation, to ensure a good feeling among everybody, sadhana is considered very important. So that
okay, well, let's stop. I'll interrupt you there. You say that among a group of devotees, to ensure good feeling, sadhana is very important. There's no ensuring good feeling. It's not something you could, to a large extent, you can ensure safety on a boat if you follow the safety procedures. To a large extent. Although, what is that? Nartasya Chagoda. How does that verse begin? Nartasya Chagoda Madanvati Majjato. No, there's no safety on a boat. Even if there's no storm, you have an expert captain, there's no. But to a large extent, you can ensure safety in most situations if you follow. There are safety procedures, just like a few years ago. A car ferry sailing from France to England went out a short distance and then it sunk. And most of the people on board drowned. They did an investigation. They didn't have to do a very big investigation. What happened was they forgot to close the chute. So that the cars come in, when the ferry is at the dock, the cars drive onto it, and then they have to close the chute. But they forgot to close it. So they went out and the water came in and they sunk. So there are straightforward procedures to ensure. In some situations you can say we can ensure that it will be safe. The sailors usually on the ferry, they go back and forward maybe 3-4 times a day, and They're not concerned about safety. They are concerned, but they follow all the procedures, and even though it's a very busy shipping lane, busiest shipping lane in the world, but they're not, they feel safe because they follow the procedures. But there are no procedures that you can follow to ensure good feeling. That is not, we can.
Right.
If everyone is following sadhana as you suggest, then we can expect that there should be some purification of heart. But we do see also devotees who follow sadhana very strictly. But you may not feel very comfortable in their association because they're not very pleasant to be with because of their attitudes. Someone may say that about me. Yeah, so anyway, you can continue what you're going to say.
Insisting upon sadhana.
Insisting upon sadhana, yes, Srila Prabhupada.
That itself becomes a point of contention.
Ah.
And
your own experience, yeah.
So we
can't have Krishna consciousness without basic sadhana. Srila Prabhupada in many letters wrote, and he wrote in one letter, without these rising early, following four regulated principles, chanting 16, without this there is no spiritual life. So if we don't have that, we can't expect to have good feeling among devotees. But on the other hand, if you insist on it, then some devotees, they may get upset.
Call that committing aparata.
It's a Vaishnava aparata to wake me up to go to Mangalarti.
Wait a minute.
I'm a Vaishnava. I became disturbed because I wanted to sleep. So you're offending me. Well, that's as I said, that can be misinterpreted. What's Vaishnava aparata can be misinterpreted. Recently I was in Sweden, and there's a farm there which is owned by devotees, and they're all private plots around, owned by devotees or whatever they're supposed to be. And I was told there are about 50 families living there, and with children over 150 people, but even on the Sunday I never saw more than 25 in the temple room. So I'm sure everyone, when they see each other, they say hi, and there's no bad feeling among them, but so what? There's no spiritual purpose being served by their pleasantly letting each other go to hell, or pleasantly avoiding Krishna. So that's why I say you can't ensure, you can't legislate sincerity. We should try for it, but you can't enforce it. Farm community means that in the core, just like you'll find in the towns it used to be, that the temple is in the center and the Agraharam or the Brahmana's quarters would be around the temple. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that design for Mayapur also. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they should have separate quarters. I don't know if anyone even heard of that nowadays, but that was well known that Srila Prabhupada wanted the Mayapur city should be divided like that. So the Brahmanas live at the center of the town, and the Shudras, and then there are others who live a further distance. So those who are serious about coming to the temple, serving in the temple, they should be in the center. And then others who maybe like to do some work for Krishna but who are not very serious about sadhana, they can be further away. Let them live among themselves and do whatever they like. Not exactly do whatever they like. Shudras, there are rules also. Outside the town, that's where the chandalas are. They can do whatever they like. For them, they have equal rights. They have freedom. This freedom is for chandalas, actually. You have freedom. You can eat meat, you can have sex with your mother, or you do whatever you like. No rules for you. Fighting, killing, they can do whatever they like. But they're not civilized. Freedom is not for civilized people. Brahmanas, of course, there's no law on them because they're self-disciplined. So they have freedom in that sense. Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada sometimes say that when there are disagreements among devotees in how to serve spiritual master, they should be considered spiritual.
Yeah, disagreeing between devotees are spiritual because they're about how to serve Krishna. But if they disagree because someone doesn't want to serve Krishna, then that's not spiritual. If someone says, well, I don't get up in the morning, that's not a disagreement about how to serve Krishna. That's a disagreement about how not to serve Krishna. Of course, there may be some instances where someone is sick or they come in very, very late at night. But we have to be careful of that also, because if someone comes in very late at night, regularly, then their whole sadhana becomes messed up. So we have to, this preaching is required, but not so that, not on the long-term basis, that our whole sadhana becomes compromised, seriously compromised. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.